Well, it's a blessing to be here. And I was thinking this morning, actually, and I told Brother Wells, where is he? The old man. Oh, he's grinning like a Cheshire cat. And all his boys are here. And so this meeting is always good. It's like a reunion. And get to see old friends, make some new friends. I love God's people, and I love preachers. There was a time I didn't. Well, right? Same with you. But I love the work of God, and I love the men of God. I love the group that we're in. I really do. And believe the Bible. Preach the Bible. Live the Bible. All right, let's have a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for this good day. As Brother DeMichael said, cool air, it's a blessing, God. Thank you for allowing us to live in this country for this time. Thank you, God, for saving our wicked, wretched souls. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you counted us faithful and you put us into the ministry. Lord, you helped us be faithful. And Lord, everything that is good that has gone on in our lives is because of you and you alone and your word. And we're thankful today. And I'm thankful for preachers. And thank you for these good men gathered together in this place today in your name. And Lord, oh God, help them and bless them. Give them something that'll challenge them and help them. I thank you for the vision that you've given these men that have started this conference 7 years ago. And I pray bless them and continue to lead them and guide them in future meetings that we have. God, they've been a help to me, and I know by testimony a help to so many others. And so this morning, again, I pray that this lesson, Lord, would be a help. And Lord God, that you'd be pleased. And Lord God, you would get some real publicity through this. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. My subject is public ministry. And I am subject has been given to me by Pastor DeMichael, and he asked me to do it. I am by no means an expert on this, but I do what I'm told. So I want to help you. I have some guys, and they have some, they were here. And John, you're the only dependable guy around here. The other two were members of my church. That's a real good one. Lieberg! And anyway, what John is passing out over there, he's passing out a couple of things, I'll talk about them. But this one here is a tract that we have given out at football games. We had a fella in our church, and he's here, and he was All-American football player. He's an icon, actually, in Missoula when they won the national championship, 3 years All-American. And so he got saved and came to our church. Lieberg, would you pass those out, please? Thanks. Oh, there, Spencer's got them. Okay, and you got that and the songbooks also. Who's got the songbooks? The All-American. All right. And so we've used that, and we would pass him out of football games, and just the mention of his name gets people's attention. Put it out in a very nice tract. Got his testimony on that, and people would readily take them. The other thing is that I'm passing out to you this morning is, here, I have some extras. Pass those out, one on each table. And those, that songbook here
is one that we use in our street meetings. I want that one back. The track I want back too, if you just want to look at it, glance at it. There's a songbook that we use when we go downtown, and a man in our church put that together. And then this one you can keep, and I hope it'll give you maybe an idea. It's a track. It's the Confession of St. Patrick. And right out of, it's all of these are his words on here and what he really, what he believed. You know, that people think he's, you know, whatever he thinks, you know, an old Catholic and all that kind of stuff. And so we did the real thing. And it's really put out in a nice, another man that made that hymnal there also put that thing together. And we hand that out when we had a float in the St. Patrick's Day parade. I consider that public. And so I want to talk about, really, first of all, this morning, street preaching. Now, I get so many thoughts going here, so just stay with me. I don't ever look forward to meetings, and I'm sure you don't either, counseling sessions, where you know it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out type of an affair, when you got to settle some problems in the church. You ever had any of those? You say, if you haven't had any, you'll have them. Okay? So, welcome to the ministry. And I'll tell you what, they hardly ever turn out right. Is anybody here? Okay. I mean, they hardly ever turn out right. And when you're done, you're just like a wet noodle. Amen. You're wasted, you're fatigued. Well, the public ministry, the street preaching especially, for me, and maybe for some of you, is something that it's a spiritual battle also. And I know something about that. My flesh hates it. It really does. And I fight it. Oh boy, on the day that we go on Saturdays and during the summer, I'm just ornery. I mean, I'm fighting it. And I got to get the victory. I got to get crucified. I got to get down on my face, and I am crucified with Christ. I got to die daily. And like some guy said, I die daily, but don't take all day doing it. Amen. But it is good for me, though, that I have been afflicted. Amen. It's good that I afflict my flesh. It's good that I deny my flesh. It's good because it helps me. It helps me. It's always a blessing. That's what the psalmist said. It's good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Now, the street ministry is just that. It's the public ministry, I call it. It's just another part of our ministry. We've had things on Sunday school, and so aptly done by Brother Sowell. He gave the reasons why we do it and good reasons, and gave us a lot of ammo on that kind of stuff. But it's a scripture. Sunday school is scriptural. Teaching, starting them out, teaching children. There's a lot of scripture on that, just as with Brother John Paisley did on the second man, and scripture on the best second man. And so likewise, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture this morning, because it has much to say about this important part of the ministry. Now, take your Bible then. First of all, go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, and just one verse. But the Apostle Paul is speaking to Agrippa, and he's giving his testimony. And in verse number 16, And with one hand, go back here to Acts 20, if you just don't mind, so we can get there real quickly. And he says in verse number 26, verse number 16, he says, "But rise and stand upon thy feet," the Lord said to Paul, "for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." God makes ministers. Amen. And he says, "to make thee a minister," that's number one, "and a witness. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee." And so Paul, the Lord says to Paul, you're to be a minister and a witness. Two different things. Hello. All right. Now look at chapter 20. And I got four F's this morning. Well, that's what I was in 1968 in L.A. Induction Center. But four F's. I want to talk about fools. And I want to talk about, if I get there, I'll talk about the fair. May not get there. Floats. And football games. And that's all our public ministries that we have at our church. And if you can come up with some more, amen. I'm all ears. But notice in chapter 20, in verse number 20, Paul says, "And I, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you." Okay, I showed you and have taught you what? Publicly. That's out in the open. Can I just say it? Is that pretty good definition? I think Webster's even gives that. That's part of his definition about public, out in the open. You know that. And so, and then he says, and from house to house. So Paul did witness, okay? He witnessed privately, house to house, right? That's private. And he witnessed publicly. And so I want to talk about, first of all, being fools for Christ. Paul says, we are fools for Christ, but you are wise. Now, that's how the world looks at us. Why? Because the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I'm looking at that verse back there. To save them that believe. Amen. And so we are fools for Christ. Now, public ministry, it's where the people are. I mean, there's more people downtown in the square in Boise today than there are in here. And it's where the people are. I know of a preacher and lives in a city. He's not here. Of almost a million people for 13 years, he has preached every Friday night on the street in his city. Now, that's 650 times plus. Amen. Now, he's probably preached to more people than all the evangelical churches in his town combined. He's getting the truth out. And that's what I really want to talk about. Firstly, I want to talk about the menace. And I use menace. I got an M. Now I'm going down to the M's, okay? And that's the danger. The danger. Look at over here to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. If you look there, and look at verse number 14, and Isaiah lamenting, and he says, "And judgment is turned away backward." Ain't that the truth? Huh? My dad had another word for that. But he said, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off." Watch it. "And for truth is fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter." That's dangerous. Truth is fallen in the street, Isaiah says. I said, I think he laments about that. I think we ought to be sorrowful about that. Because it's not that truth is dead. You know, you can't kill truth. This is truth. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is truth incarnate, but here we have the Bible. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is, say it, truth. Truth is not dead. You can't destroy it. It's eternal. It's just become inactive. I guess maybe that's why, I shouldn't even say guess, but the prophet Amos says that the famine in the last day is a famine for hearing the words of the Lord. Now, I know that's not in your church, right? It better not be, but I guarantee it's on the streets. Truth has fallen in the streets. Truth. I put this, where truth has fallen, lies much more abound. When truth has fallen, then the lie comes in. Now, truth's what sets you free. Amen. Truth will set me free. Truth will set others free. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And listen, I know I got saved 33 years ago, and I was a school teacher. I got so much education. You'd think I just bluffed my way through 11 years of college, and I had to bribe some guys even to get out, but I'll tell you what I wanted. I've wanted for many, many, many years is truth. I wanted the truth. The old whore gave me lies. Amen. And the whore's daughters gave me lies. And I wanted truth. And so I've tried myself. Just I'm speaking for myself. It's kind of been a quote-unquote goal of trying to get as much truth that I can any way I can. Whether it's the radio, television, on the street, in the pulpit, letters to the editor. That's a great form. And I encourage people. I say, you write the letter. You give me your thought. I'll write the letter and we can put your name on. Because I write so many, they think I'm part of the newspaper. And you can get them out. I like to get the truth out. And you ought to want to get the truth out. Truth has fallen in the street. And equity cannot enter in. Now I give you today, secondly, the mandate. And the mandate is right there. Gip, you messed it up again. Go teach all nations. That's the mandate. Preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. That's the mandate. It's a command. It's a command. He says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Preach it. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews, let me look at a few verses with you. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and I know many of you, or most of you, are familiar with this verse, but you might have snuck in here and you don't know anything yet. But look at that's where I'm going next. But look over here to Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, sung by the Rogers last night, amen, suffered without the gate. Now watch verse 13. Let us go forth, what's that word? Therefore, because of, right? Therefore, let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Without the camp. Let's go. I'd like to tell you, but let's go. Yeah, we did that one. We've done that a few times. But he said, let us go without the camp, bearing his reproach. That's a command. That's the mandate for the thing. Listen, most Bible-believing churches, listen, in your city, listen, if you're worth your salt, you're that, when Paul got off the boat there, over there in Acts chapter 28, they said, we know, we've heard about this sect, we know that everywhere it is, anybody know? Spoken against. And you know, the stands that you take on, especially on this book, and the various stands you take, you know that your church is spoken against. Amen. And we're not trying to get it spoken against. You just live it and do it and do what you're supposed to, and it will be. And we know that. So listen, if we're being spoken against just by being an independent Bible-believing Baptist church, listen, it's spoken against even if you don't obey that verse. So why not go and be an obedient Bible believer? Huh? Yeah. Look over here. Let's just look at something else here. Look at Matthew chapter 22, please. Look at Matthew chapter 22. Here's the mandate to go public with your message. Matthew chapter 22. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And notice what he says in verse number 9, 22:9. He says, go ye therefore into the, not the church along the highway, but the highways. That's the Lord saying that. He says, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. As many as ye shall find. There's a whole bunch out there. And I want to talk about that because in a little while, I suppose, I'll say it. And I already said that. That's where the people are. There are more people out there than in here. In your church, I don't care if you got 3,000 people in your church, 5,000, 10,000. There's still more people out there. And so he says, verse 10, so those servants went out. That's what we are, servants. He says, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered to get all as many as they found. Look over here to Luke chapter 14. You know the verse. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. Get there and we'll read it. Look at verse 23. Read it and weep. Amen. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's what we do when we go street preaching. We compel them to come in. Amen. We're trying to get them in. Amen. We want them in. Yeah. I know most of them don't get it. I know that. But we're still supposed to try.
Come on, preacher. That's right.
Good. Look over here to let me see here. look over here to Ezekiel chapter 2. I mean, just as with any other part of Scripture that we're to obey, and that is mandated, you might say, and that we're to obey, this is to be obeyed. Hello? Yes. I mean, we heard about it last night, man, about observe to do. Didn't we not? And you amend him. But you see, I'm getting more specific. And that's what we don't like. We can amen observe to do. Amen, brother. Okay, here we go. Now it's time for the oh me's. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. And he, the Lord, said unto me, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said to me, son of man, I send thee. It's a commission to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Is this a rebellious nation? Boy, oh boy, I mean, you know, you make spiritual applications. I know that's written. Oh, it's written to the Israel. That's Ezekiel's commission to the children of Israel. You make spiritual applications on everything else. How about making it on this one?
Come on,
no, not that. We're going to really rightly divide it there, brother. Well, any old excuse will do. Amen. And he says, that have rebelled against me, a rebellious nation, they and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Is that not the generation it seems like we're dealing with today?
Yeah.
I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord. I say to you, brothers, you got God all behind you. Thus, hey, you got God, his word, you got his authority. You are under him, and he has said unto you. You got, hey, listen, I tell someone in our church or, you know, a man to perhaps do some dirty work for me, and don't you ever guys have do some dirty work? And I says, hey, if they give you any static, I'm behind you all the way. And I am. Amen. Unless it gets too messy. But I'm saying, the Lord says, I'm behind you.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord, I'm behind you. And he says, and whether they, and watch it, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, amen, doesn't matter. That's, listen, I got my job. They got their job. God has done his job. And he said, whether they hear or forbear. He says, for they are a rebellious house, but I'll tell you what, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. And I can say that. I know Brother Nathan Bemis is here this morning, and I know he has preached on his street for 35, 40 years up there. Every summer gets himself a little soapbox or whatever, or he gets himself a corner over there, and he goes out. And I want to tell you something. Whether they've heard or forbear, I'll tell you what, they're going to know one of these days that there was a preacher, there was a prophet among them. Amen. And I have respect for these men. But they're going to know. Now, I got to say this because it's right in my notes here in my Bible. Ezekiel got some instructions, and I got to say this. Look what he says in verse number 1. I'm kind of looking at my time here. And he says this in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. And here's the thing, brothers. He says, and this is what we ought to do. He says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat this what? Roll. Well, that's the Bible. And go. See, you know, what you got to do before you go is eat. Amen. You got to feed yourself. You got to get into this book. Fill your mind and your heart with it. And when you're going to go out, you better, or you're going to be, you're going to be a dead duck out there. Amen. I mean, you're not going to be, listen, you just need to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God. Filled with this book will fill you as part of getting filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You know that. You teach it out of Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. You know that and make the comparison. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and all of that. And so you got to feed yourself first. Just don't go out there cold. Now, this is free, okay? But you can't go out there cold and then go. And he says, eat this roll and go. You got to just remember who you're dealing with. Look at verse number 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for they all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces and thy forehead strong against their... Amen. Just button heads, man. They're going to give you dirty looks. I don't say you should give them dirty looks, but I say you just got to be tough. You got to, just like our brother preached last night on put some courage on. Look at verse 9. As an adamant, that's a stone, harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. You're going to get, I'm getting some funny looks this morning, but I'm not dismayed. Don't bother me. Amen. Amen. I determined that a long time ago. I'm not going to let some sourpuss get me. And you have two in your congregations because you got some that are sucking on lemons every time they just got it in their car, right in the dash, suck it before they come in. You know that. Yeah. But you're not going to let them get, don't let them get to you. They'll get to you out in the street. We've had them come by. Little old gray-haired lady. I don't even want to call them ladies. And come by like this, you know. It's sad. It is sad. That's where, and by the way, that's, you better keep it that way. It ought to make you sad and not mad. That's you get filled with the Holy Ghost and maybe and perhaps then that would be your response. When you don't, you go out there in the flesh and boy, oh boy, we can have some problems. Now I'm not done yet. I got to go to some models. Look over here to John 5. So we've got the menace, the danger of a truth has fallen in the street, the mandate and the command. But look at John chapter 5. And most of Jesus Christ's ministry was public. Now we're not going to go into, well, they didn't have church buildings at those times. Okay, we're not going to get into that this morning. Okay? We got an answer for it. But I'm not going to give it to you because if you're that skeptical, then you don't deserve an answer. Amen. Look at John chapter 5. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep what? A pool. That's where he did some work, man. Now you know what the market is. Look over here to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And that's just like, they're selling livestock down there, and that's where he went. Man, he found something to do, and he always found something to do. And he won someone to himself, you might say. And but look at Acts chapter 17 and the Apostle Paul in the city of Athens, and you know it, in verse number 17, therefore he disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the what? Market daily. Amen. With them that met with him. I'm just saying the Lord Jesus Christ is a model for us. The Apostle Paul is a model for us. Look at Acts chapter 18. Jonah preached on the street. Hey, he went into that great city. Amen. And he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Amen. Just an eight word message. I mean, you guys, your goose is cooked in 40 days. And he went through that city, the Bible says. He went through. He is a street preacher. You say, oh, it doesn't get results. You don't read your Bible. I think everybody got it that time. Yeah, look at Acts chapter 18. And we're talking about Apollos. After John, you know, all he knew was about John the Baptist. The baptism of John. Pretty elemental. What, my dear friend, Watson? Elementary. And that's all he knew. Well, okay, Aquila and Priscilla, they took him over for some coffee in their tent or something, or camel juice or whatever, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Amen. And then notice when he got it, look at verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that what? Yeah, amen. Showing that by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. That guy got on fire for God. Now, he got on fire for God, and I got a story about that in a little while. I got a guy in my church. He got saved. He was an old cowboy. We call him Cowboy. And he was a JW, came to church one day. His son came down this aisle bawling, and the old man came down the other side, and he got saved, man. And I mean it, man. The next Sunday, I was baptizing four people, and I'm up there by the pulpit and got the people getting ready, and I'm talking to the people, and everybody's going to me like this. And here this guy that just got saved, he's standing over here. Well, are they getting baptized? I'm going to get baptized too, man. He's been in church ever since. He runs our fair ministry. And I tell you, he got saved. And he went up to his little town north of us, Arlee. And he'd stand. Now, Arlee is just, you missed it. And it's one of those. And he went up there, and he's standing on the highway preaching that Jesus is the Christ. Nobody told him to do that. I'll tell you, he got it. I mean, you just can't help when something's in you to get it out. But then, you know, he hang around for a while, hang around us, and then he'll get just like us. Duds. I'm telling you, Elijah had an open-air meeting. Whitfield, hey, listen, I'm telling you, models this morning. Whitfield preached on the street publicly. You know that. Finney did. Did you know that Timothy of 1st and 2nd Timothy was beaten to death? How many know that? No, it's not too many. It's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He was beaten to death. Guess where? On the street. I mean, the pagans were coming around, and they had some idolatrous procession, a parade, and he protested it and preached against, and they beat him with clubs, and he died 2 days later. That's just some models for us. There's models of men that have preached publicly and witnessed publicly. The Salvation Army used to beat the drums for the gospel. Now they beat it for money, I guess. Amen. Moses and Elijah, guess what? They let their dead bodies in the street. I guess what? I guarantee they were preaching on the street. Or they will be. Excuse me. You say, to bring it up to modern times. Well, that was back then. How about, that's even in the future. How about right now? Now, Spurgeon, Brother DeMichael mentioned his lectures to students. He has two chapters on open-air preaching. And yeah, the history of it and then methods of it. That's the models. And I know many of us, we long for a Christian nation, but I was just back in Boston a few weeks ago and looked at some, and I saw, I'll tell you what, our nation did have had Christian influence in the beginning. Boy, oh boy, it makes me mad. You know how the liberals have messed that thing up. I mean, you know, you go into the plantation, Plymouth plantation.
Two people, one story.
You know, white man's the bad guy, you know? And all of the Bibles that were in those little houses. And listen, there was preaching on publicly in those days. It was common. I'm just talking about the models that we've had. Now, I want to go next to methods, okay? Now, I had another thought in my mind. Can't get it. It'll come back. It's not here. Well, it might get there. It might come back when Rogers is preaching. If it does, I'll yell it out. Now, methods. I say this, please, methods. I say go where the people are. I mean, I remember when we first started out, we'd go to a side street. Chickens. Bawk, 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 bawk. Hey, at least we went. Gotcha. But go where the people are. And I remember Ron Sykes preaching in front of the courthouse when they had a crafts festival. And we had a meeting there. I always go, I normally go to the chief of police in our town, and I'll stop in, and you can't get an appointment with them normally. They're pretty busy, and I don't want to take his time. And I'll just step in his office, and I'll say, Chief, you know, we're going to be down here on Saturdays at 11 o'clock to 11:30 or so. I just want to let you know so you can let your officers know that it's us. We're not impeding traffic or foot traffic because that's something you don't want to do when people are, you know, you don't want to block them, things like that. We're not buttonholing people, things like that. And I just let them know, no problem. And if you'll do that, you'll probably save yourself, you know, a headache. And just do that. We got a guy, Big Jim. He's a police officer. He's a bike patrol. I don't see, man, how he can ride a bike. He just must weigh 300 pounds. But he's a Christian. He's been in my office and at the church and loves me and real conservative. But he's always about a block or so away when we're street preaching. And he'll come. Last time we guys were down there, I wasn't there. And he was over. He came over about a half minute late, and they lost the guy that mooned him, I think, or something like that. But, amen. I just wish I had a pellet gun. Anyway. Put some lipstick on that pellet, man. Now, hey, come on. And I'm sure there's a right way, I'm sure there's a wrong way, and I'm sure, and there's a your way, okay? And, hey, listen, some have had a bad taste because of someone who may have been overzealous or obnoxious, and that's why people don't go or are a little reluctant to go. But listen, and so they don't even have a public ministry. Well, that's about as ridiculous as us using a guy who says you won't come to church because there's hypocrites in the church. Okay? Now, I like to go over here to 1 Samuel chapter 10. I'm going to show you methods, okay? I'm trying to go on, I got different, I got an outline, kind of. But 1 Samuel chapter 10, where the brother Gip was this morning. And 1 Samuel chapter 10, and look at verse number 5, please. Here's Samuel, he'd been anointed in verse number 1. And he says in verse 5, and after that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets, some preachers, right? Coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall what? Well, that's a street meeting. Now, that's what we like to do. We kind of like to do it this way. And I learned a lot from Brother Sutek. I really did. I got his books, and he's been to our church a number of times, and we have a great meeting when he's there. But the Salvation Army used to do that. They'd play music. Amen. That attracts people. We'll sing songs. That's why I gave you that songbook. And just to look at, maybe get some ideas instead of bringing a big hymn book downtown. Just bring a little, we put them in a briefcase and pass them out when we get down there. And then I lead songs or whoever. Most time I lead them. But we've had harmonica playing and accordion playing, guitar playing, got the drums. And no, I'm just joking. And we go downtown on Saturday in the summers because Saturday in our city, Missoula, which Brother Sutek said is the second worst city in the country to preach, have public ministry, and it's just because of the static that we get, and you wouldn't think that in Montana. Oh, a bunch of cowboys. No, we got a bunch of liberals in our city, a bunch of Satanists, and my generation of the 60s and 70s smoking dope, and now they're snorting coke, I suppose, and they run the city. And they hate God, and they hate authority. And that's the group we got there. And we go down there, and we'll sing songs. And I'll tell you what, we sing. We get next to a building that will reverberate, whatever. You know what I'm talking about? All right, you got it. And they have heard us 2 to 3 blocks away singing. And we sing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Boy, oh boy, man. And we sing. And that just people, whoa, what's going on, man? And we sing for maybe 4, 5, 6 songs. And then we have a word of prayer. And I've told somebody, I was going to say this. I tell people at our church, we do everything we do here. We sing songs, we pray, we preach, give an invitation. We just don't take an offering. So they might like it down there at that meeting. Well, we do that. And then we go to a place, a couple of different places. We preach in turn, okay? And then we'll have a guy, we have an island, right, where there's farmer's market and all these people are, and we just have a good old time, man. We hold up scripture signs. A couple of weeks ago, the guys went downtown and held up scripture signs. Gee, they stood there. Now, we got Dr. Ruckman's 4x8s, we put it on a piece of plyboard and made a frame for it, and we hang it against a pole down there. And it has that, it's the one that, where it has Christ on the cross, sin on him, and not in him, and all of that. And it's a great tool, it really is, because I've preached to it, and then it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And you can just look at that and point to that and use it as a object lesson or whatever you want to say, a visual, if you would. And we preach and we work the crowd. Okay, I work the crowd. I'm a good guy for working the crowd. I'm not as good a preacher. I don't have that loud of a voice, and that's fine. I mean, I have preached. I don't preach all the time, but I like to work the crowd. I like to go up to someone and I'll have all kinds of tracks, and that's what our people do. They'll just go while these guys are preaching. They'll say, "Are you with that crowd?" I said, "No," and just joke. And we do it. And we do it, listen, until the natives get restless. And then we get out of there. Because, you don't want to overstay. Or else we've overstayed our visit downtown. And things get nasty. But when it starts getting nasty, we got to get out of there. Now, my flesh doesn't want to get out of there. Amen. Because I just like telling them off. Amen. So do you. But you got to get out of there. And one time, we had a preacher's meeting at our church, and we went over to the university. I says, let's go over to the University of Montana tomorrow morning. And we went over there on a Tuesday morning or Tuesday about 11 o'clock. And just, we had 40 of us, and we sang on Mars Hill. That's it. Amen. And unbeknownst to us, the queer week was just starting over there. And I tell you, within 5 minutes, the media was down there, and we had a blast. We had a blast. But we had preachers, and they were standing around. I counted, at one time, half a dozen of them at least standing around with a university student giving them truth. That's what we're here for. That's what will set them free. That's what they say they're at the university for truth. We give them absolute truth. And that was a blessing. And there's a lot of blessings. Now, I got to finish, but I got to say this. Look over here to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Now, you're going to get responses. How do you answer opposition? We get opposition, okay? Lost people come to us, and if they're skeptical and just want to be an idiot, I just break off the conversation. Because you go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not him the lips of knowledge. You just got to do it. Most of the static we get is from Christians. And I'll just say this. I don't have time to turn there. In Acts chapter 17, verse 32, we get those kind of responses. Some mocked. Do you see it there? Right? Others said, we will hear thee again. Something like that. What does it say? What does it say? Okay, yeah, go thy way. Okay, verse 34, what? And some believed. That's it. That's what happens. You get various responses. Now, from the Christians, if they're sincere, I'll go to Acts chapter 17, 7, and show them. Because somebody asked me this. What do you do? Maybe you should tell the preachers, one of our street preachers says, how? Because we get a lot of this. Josh asked me this. He says, what do you do? Well, I go to Acts or John 7, where Jesus in the great day of that feast stood up. He stood in that feast. He said, if any man here, let him come unto me. Remember that? In Acts chapter, I said, here's what Jesus did. Here's what your Savior did. He did that publicly. Now, a lot of Christians, a lot of these guys that say they're Christians, they'll just say, you know, you're turning them away, and why do you do this? And you try to show them Scripture, and I, like I said to a brother the other day, finally, I just say, well, you're just stupid. And you know, now that's to a Christian. I don't say that to a lost guy. I mean, a Christian, fooey on it. I'm not going to drive him to hell. He's already saved. But I'll say that. You're just ignorant. You just don't know what's going on. Amen. I mean, come on. Just like somebody calling you up and saying, this is my dog. The dogs go to heaven. I said, no, they go to hell. Now, I had a guy the other day, and he says, he come by, and it's a street guy. He's on his bike. He said, what does that mean? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I don't understand what that on is. And I said, well, that means trust him. I says, you know, you got your bike here. I says, if you want to get to the other end of the block, do you believe that it'll get you to the end of the block? He says, yeah. I says, but you got to get on it to get you there. And that's the same thing. So you get some sincere seekers, And I want to say this lastly. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. But listen, let me say something to you, preachers. Maybe you're not inclined to go every week, and some aren't. You got other responsibilities. Also, I know your week piles up by Saturday, and you got to get your sermon together. But you know what you can do? You can publicly support those that want to. I mean in your pulpit. You can lend them your support. And from periodically, go down and cheer them up. You know, there's something about the pastor being there that means something to the troops. It's just like Lee or Grant and coming to the troops. Hey, man, the general comes on the field. Man, you know, just like the pastor comes home. Boy, they're glad to have the pastor home. Amen. And so you, even if you're not inclined to go down there as much as some guys in your church are just, they want to really get going. And I've put it in charge of a fella in our church, he wants to go. And so you go down and you encourage them. I really believe you ought to do that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 then. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Amen. According to the power of God. Now, Brother Bemis gave me this story last night just when he got in, because I told him what I was preaching, and his wife related the story to me. A while back, maybe a year ago or so, they had this big street preachers meeting up at Ron Robinson's church in Fairbanks. This one Jewish kid got all fired up, and he went downtown that night and was preaching on the street by himself. And some queers come by, and he preached to them. I don't know I don't think he egged them on, but whatever, that he offered them a tract. They went on by. Well, one of them came back. Well, I think I'll take one. And as he took that track, he sucker punched him and hit him and split him open. And some guy out of the shop that was right there took him into his shop and fixed him up. And he says, I'm going back out there. He says, you're going back out there? And he did. He went back out there and started preaching again. And a group of Muslims come by. And one of those Muslims he dealt with for 45 minutes. And he got down on his knees, and the Muslim accepted Jesus Christ. And you see, you know, that's pretty good. I wish that was my story. But that's a good story. A Jew winning a Muslim. You see, there's no, you know, street ministry doesn't work. Well, we're not in it for it to work. We're not pragmatists. We're just supposed to do it and leave the results up to God. And that's a pretty good result. I'm done. We go to the fairs. That's your, we have a guy through the amazing grace. I know this church has it. Thousands of tracts are passed out every year at the fair. That's public. It's a good avenue for young Christians to get them involved. It's a non-threatening atmosphere. I'd like to also say this. We go to floats and have parades. Brother Spencer gave out 14,000 tracts. That tract you have on St. Patrick's Day, we put a float. Brother Lieberg had one this year. Listen to this. They gave those tracts out that you got a copy of. They're in Helena, Montana, which is where Carroll College is. It's a Jesuit college. And their float won the first prize, and the Jesuit, the guy that had to give them the prize or the trophy for the first, was a Jesuit to a Baptist church. That's a blessing. And then, of course, we go to football games, and you got the Buckeyes, and you got the Wolverines, and you got the Broncos, and you got all that. What we have done is we've made a schedule out. A guy in our church, he put the schedule on. Hey, get your Bronco schedule here. Get your Bronco. And give it out, and you open it up, and there's the gospel. Amen. All right, Lord, thank you now. I hope and I pray that this would be a challenge and an encouragement to each individual in this room, God, realizing that this is a very important thing, and truth is fallen in the street. It's our responsibility, really. We got the truth, and it's our responsibility to pick it back up and get that thing moving again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Give that to Brother Roger. Brother Roger. Yeah. All right. You get a blessing from that?
Amen.
Amen. We call our street ministry that. We call it street ministry. I like this little booklet. You just lost this one, brother. But we call it street. The reason we do that is because I don't want our guys going out there preaching like a gorilla robbed of his last banana. You know the guys. They go out there with their toothbrush in their pocket. You know, they're going to go to jail. And And I appreciate what he said about try to maintain a relationship with law enforcement for years. And we haven't done it in a while. We need to really do it again. But Brother Aldridge and I would go out with the chief of police of Boise, and we'd take him to lunch and just let him get to know us and do the same thing. Just let him know we'll be out there from time to time. Let him know what we're doing. And we've actually had police protection. We've had policemen on horses stand between us and groups that were gathering that looked kind of rowdy. On certain evenings, they have I forget what they call it now on 8th Street. What do they call it on 8th Street when they block it off on Fridays? Alive at 5, yeah. And boy, you talk about crowds of people. And we go out there with an intercom system. And we've actually had policemen on horses put a barricade between us and some guys that were looking to get ugly. This is a pretty rough town for street preaching. He talked about Missoula. There's some people out there with a bad spirit that'll hurt you. And so it's nice to have protection from law enforcement. Remember Brother Bircher that one night? Guy come at us with a knife and everything else, and cops got between them, and I thought that was pretty nice. But the cops, that is, you know. The other thing, too, he talked about moving from place to place. I agree with that. If you stand in one spot in front of the jewelry store, you got to understand that that merchant's going to want you out of there sooner or later. And you want to know something? I don't blame him. I had a guy come to me one time complaining he was getting persecuted on the streets where he preached, and I asked him about that, and he was telling me he kept going to the same spot, and he was starting to get into it with the merchant, and I said, I'm on the merchant side. I think you ought to preach for a little while and then get out of there. Go somewhere else. And if you do that, then they're not going to get irritated with you. But if you stay in one spot all the time, then you're just going to force the issue. And law enforcement is going to stand with the municipality, and the municipality is going to stand with the merchants. It's that simple. You're fighting a losing battle. So in most towns, you can have some liberty to do this kind of stuff. And let me tell you what street preaching does for me. I'm like you said, I'm like the last group. I get out a couple times a summer with our guys. I don't get out every time. I wish I could. I just don't have time. And frankly, there's times I don't have enough throat left to preach. There's times on a Saturday I'll go out, like you said, and I'll work the crowd, but I can't preach because I wouldn't make it through Sunday. Now, some of you younger guys that think that's wimpy, you come and see me in 30 years, okay? And you come and see me after you had your bout with cancer, and, you know, so you're all brave and filled with testosterone, but just chill out, okay? Okay? Earn your stripes first, grow up a little bit, start shaving, and then come and tell me all about it, okay? All right? Listen, I've been in New Orleans, in downtown New Orleans, and I've had beer poured on me. I've had strippers do strip teases in front of me. I've had stuff thrown at me. I've been grabbed and punched. So don't talk to me about being bold, okay? But there comes a time in life where, you know, you just got so many priorities and so many things to do, and you just flat wear out. A lot of Saturdays I go out there and blow out my vocal cords. I'm not going to have nothing left for Sunday. So, but I try to get out there and support it. Like he said, I'll get up there behind the pulpit and support it. And I'll tell you what it does for me. It keeps the preach in the preacher. It keeps the preach in the preacher. And if you haven't done it in a long time, get out there, and you'll remember again what it'll do for you. Another thing it does, it draws the lines of separation. You get out there, you if you start getting friendly with the world, you'll remember what the world thinks of your Savior. And Paul talked about being separated under the gospel of God. There's no better way to get separated than just get out there publicly with the gospel. And the world will separate back from you. You won't have to separate from them. But he talked about the flesh fighting it. He talked about a counseling session versus street work. I tell you, the flesh will fight both of those, but the difference is how you feel when you're done. Most of the counseling sessions, you feel like you wasted your time. You get done street preaching. I don't know what it is, but I just feel renewed when I get done doing it. So try to get out when I can, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, you bet.
And here's a couple variations. He mentioned running into the gay pride parade. We have actually scheduled in when they were meeting on the Capitol steps and getting ready to march. And we've gotten across the street in a park underneath the trees, and we've had 100 men in suits just singing hymns. That's all. We didn't confront them. We didn't have any signs. We didn't say, go home, queers, or nothing like that. We just sang hymns, sang 15, 20 hymns. Media comes over, interviews us. We wind up in the paper as being against homosexuality. And then we let them march down the street, and we just let them go. We don't confront them. But we get equal copy in the press that same day. But again, you know, you just got to pick your spots and use a little bit of wisdom. And then I'll tell you another thing that's real effective. It's a little extra work, but we call it kindness evangelism. This is a real variation. But we'll get bottles of water, and we'll get our young people with pickup trucks, and we'll get a bunch of coolers with ice. We'll get these. You buy these in quantity at Walmart or something, or Costco or whatever. You can get them for, you know, 20 cents a piece or something. And on hot days, we'll hit the intersections where the traffic is piling up about 5:30 rush hour, and we'll pass these out. And normally, 9 out of 10 gospel tracts will be received. And we'll get out as many as 1,000, 2,000, 1,500 of these on a Friday rush hour. Just take about an hour. Your young people love doing it, running in and out of the trucks, distributing them out. And I've been in the store where I've heard two people talking about it. You know, I was stuck in traffic, and these people from a church gave me free water. They go, free? Free? It's called kindness evangelism. And it just spreads a little goodwill, plus you get the gospel out. So I'm sure you can think of something in your town that you could do that's unique. And just a way to get the gospel out. All right, let's go ahead and take a break.